Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Cara, part of the team here. Hey, Josh. So I'm going to share a communion thought this morning. I'm going to be really honest this morning. Not that I'm not honest other times, but I'm going to be really honest this morning. And maybe some things that I might say might make you feel uncomfortable. So I want to preface this by saying, bear with me. There's a point to everything that I'm going to say. And then if we get to the end and you're like, no, Cara, I actually didn't like any of it, we can talk about that after the service. Okay? Is that cool? All right. So when I get asked to share a communion thought or do a sermon, I have a bit of a process. Usually Phil comes to me, says, Cara, can you speak on this day? I say yes, and then I go away and I pray about it. And usually my prayer goes something like, Lord, what would you like me to share? And then usually I just go about my life, you know, during my daily Bible reading or through life interacting with people, something will stand out to me and something will come to me and then I'm like, oh, that's the thing I'm going to share. As we're leading up to today, that wasn't happening. Nothing was standing out to me. And we're getting closer to it and I was praying more. I'm like, God, what am I going to get up there and say? Because I can't just go and stand there for 3 minutes looking pretty. That's not going to work. What am I going to do? And still nothing came. And as this process was going, I was getting frustrated. Because I was really like, oh my gosh, like what am I going to say? Like I have to say something. And then I started to notice something in the service. What Phil just kind of explained it, but I'll explain it a little bit more. The way we do our service here at West City is everything that happens throughout the morning is leading us to the table. The table is actually the peak of the service. And something I was noticing happening is when we get to that point where we're invited to the table, for me, that's like a really like reverent time. It's really important. It's like I really pause. But what was happening is there's people start chatting when we get to that. And maybe one or two people chat and then more people chat. And then all of a sudden, it's real noisy in here. And I find that frustrating. I find it actually really annoying. And I was like, okay, God, you're not giving me anything to share. And I'm getting annoyed at this chatter. I don't even want to get up there and share a communion thought with these people. And I really had to stop and think, whoa, Cara, that's a bit harsh. Why do I feel that way? And then I really had to think about, well, why is it that, like, for me, it's such a, like, reverent part. I understand that everything that we do in the morning leads to that table, but maybe other people don't. So now you do, because we've just explained that. But then I also thought maybe for some people, maybe things in your life are really good. Maybe you have a great job, stable home, you got wonderful relationships. Everything in your life is really good. So you don't feel this like need to connect with Jesus in that moment. I'm not that person. My life isn't all sunshine and lollipops. Right now, we're in a cost of living crisis. I'm an Uber driver and I interact with people all day long and I hear people's stories all day long. I've heard countless stories recently of people who are homeless not through any fault of their own, but because rents are so expensive that real estates will say to them, you don't earn enough money to rent this property. And I'm not talking about properties on Trigg Beach or in Pepe Grove. I'm talking about little one-bedroom units in Midland or a two-bedroom shack in Rockingham. It's not just rents. Groceries, all sorts of things are skyrocketing. People are struggling. But it's also not just finances. There are people in our community who are unwell. Or maybe somebody they really care about is unwell and they're really hoping for some sort of miracle. There's all kinds of burdens that people in our community are carrying. And when we come to the table, that is an opportunity for people to lay those burdens down. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. When we come to the table, I encourage you, if you're carrying a burden, lay it down. That's your chance to take up his yoke. And if you're one of those people that I talked about earlier, that your life is so great and you actually don't have any burdens, that's your opportunity to meet with him and say, thank you. Thank you that I'm going through this, that I've got all these wonderful things in my life. Essentially, what I'm encouraging you this morning, church, when we come to the table at the end, is to just take a moment to connect with Jesus.
Very, very much. My name's Kelly, and I'm going to have a chat today. So people I know, hello, and great to be back for 2024. People I don't know, you probably get to know me anyway, because, you know, the funny thing is, I reckon I'm more open when I speak to a lot of people than when I speak to people one-on-one. It's funny. Like, I say things that I probably wouldn't tell my friend, and then I end up spurting it out. And I'm like, oh, gosh. So, you know, I'm not going to let you into anything too deep and dark, just like a little bit, you know, deep and dark. So today we're kicking off this series, and it's called The Way of Grace. And in many respects, you know, they have in churches, we have like vision month or, you know, things like that. A little bit of participation is not going to go astray, okay? You know, you're not in a bus here and I'm the conductor. We're kind of in a little community having a chat. So, you know how people, we have those vision months. And oh, look at that. Oh, preach it. Stop it. Anyway, but at West City, we are a little bit funny because we really want to talk about who we want to become much more than what we want to do. Like, I think our vision is so much more about who do we want to become. And I think whole of Christianity and faith really is about that. All the doing is, you know, little sidelines, little examples of him, hopefully. But who we're becoming, are we becoming more like him, and what does that look like? That is the quest of our Christian faith. You know, I grew up in church, so I've been in church really my whole life in different forms. I've been in all different kinds of churches. I haven't been at West City. Dot, how long have you been at West City? Come on, Dot. Participation is the name of the game. Dot was about eight, and Dot's 80 plus now, say that kindly, 80 plus. So she has been, you know, one at West City for 75 years. How amazing is that? But I've been in all different churches and all different kinds of churches. I've been in big churches, small churches, evangelical churches, conservative churches, Pentecostal churches. I've been in independent churches and denominational churches. Sounds like I've been in a lot of churches, doesn't it? But really, I'm not, like, it's not that wild. Probably I've been in 10. Churches since I was a little girl. And when people say to me, can I describe West City, I find it really difficult to say it succinctly or to even in this think about what are we like? Kind of what are we like? And in terms of theology, we're really not that much different to many church Christian churches. There's no wild theology going on here. You know, we believe in the death and the resurrection. We believe in the Trinity. We would be the Scripture's inspired word of God, you know. We just believe lots of things that many churches believe. And when it comes to values, our values are not, you know, gosh, what are they into? Our values are actually on these little plaques, little mosaics that one of our church members actually made. So go and have a walk and look at them. And they're really beautiful. And they talk about love and kindness and acceptance and things you'd think a church would be about. When it comes to leadership, we have a senior minister, Phil. You don't look very normal, though, I've got to admit. I just didn't know what happened this morning. You got up with your thongs, your shorts and your black T-shirt. I was like, well, you know, you're not a good example. I just want you to know. But anyway, it was the best we got right now, right? And then we've got just a small team of mainly part-time, you know, one kind of day people. And then we've got a bigger team of volunteers. So that's kind of pretty much like most churches, right? When it comes to programs, we're not going to suddenly change and become, you know, the rock climbing church in 2024. We're not going to, you know, some disappointment in that. But we're not. We're probably still going to have a Sunday service. Well, we are, aren't we? Yes. And we're going to have home churches and we've got pop-up groups and, you know, training and we have welcome dinners and we have a camp and this year there's a pilgrimage walks. So we just do things that most churches do. So really, when you think about that, what makes us who we are? What makes us who we are? You know, when I first came to this church, which is actually 10 years ago now, 2013, I felt something here. I felt something here that I loved. I couldn't really tell you what it was, but I felt very comfortable and I felt very encouraged. I'd come from a very, very beautiful church. Very big church, completely different in terms of size, but the same sense of desire for connection. And I found that here too. And I try to think to myself, what was it? There's the words of Eugene Peterson helped me to kind of express what I want to say. And he says this, I couldn't think, what's the unique flavour of West City? But he says this, only when we do the Jesus truth in the Jesus way do we get the Jesus life. And I haven't found it to be easy. Only when we do the Jesus truth in the Jesus way do we get the Jesus life. And I haven't found it to be easy. Who kind of loves that? I think that is actually quite spectacular. He's saying that Jesus' life was more than the truth. We just want to read Jesus for what he tells you to do and how to get it all right. You're probably going to miss the reason that God sent one of the Trinity to live as a human. Because he wanted to show us the Jesus way. And I, for one, think that, in other words, you know, actually, he also quips this. This is Peterson. He says, Jesus is the way before he is the truth and the life. You know in that scripture? I'm the way, the truth and the life. And he just quips. Maybe he was actually just trying to tell us something. The way we do faith, how we go about it. Oh, you know what? You can be the most knowledgeable, sacrificial saint in community and no one can want to follow your Jesus. I think I've definitely found this to be the truth. I think what we're trying to talk about is what is the culture of our church? How are we going to see things and what's going to be the attitude of what we do? And that's really kind of what I'm going to talk about today. And, you know, across my church history, I've really seen lots of ways of doing church. Not only have I had all these different types of churches, lots of different ways, lots of different cultures of church. I've been part of the hierarchical, which is very much someone will set the whole belief system and, you know, there's a sense that this is what we all believe and this is what we all would speak to everyone else. This is how we do it. It's very, very, this is the way it happens. That's the culture. I've seen a culture of church. Let me just think of all the ways I thought. I've been a part of a fear and brimstone church. Has anyone else been in a fear and brimstone kind of community? I've been one of them. And actually, it was a very beautiful church. Please don't let me think for one second. I actually loved that minister. He was very gorgeous. He actually was just so fearful that we'd all do something crazy. I think that he would just preach these, you know, every Sunday night was one of those church sermons that, you know, repent because if you get hit by a car tonight, you might not make it to heaven. So every week I would come to church, think, oh, look, doesn't matter what I do all week. Just come Sunday night, get it right, I'm all good. So I kind of worked that out as a teenager. I just thought, well, this is actually quite good. But I was part of a bit of a worm and mercy kind of church culture, which is, you know, we're all pretty worthless. I don't actually know why God bothered with us, but he just thought he'd have a go. Now, he always loves the underdog, God. We're all a lot of underdogs with a lot of troubles. So I was kind of a bit of a, maybe that's a bit true anyway, but doesn't matter. We took that to an extreme. I've seen the prosperity and favour where, you know, we're all more than kings, more than conquerors, and everyone's kind of marching around as if they're the king of the world. And the world is revolving around them. I've seen the black and white church where this is what you do. If you do this, you're all good. If you do this, you're out. Have we seen that? There's a lot of different ways, aren't there? You thought there was only one. Oh, no, I am giving you the full. I've got the rules and behaviour modification church, which is just going to do lots of teaching about how to do it. And you just modify your behaviour. Then we're all good. And then when all else fails, I've seen, I haven't been part of one of these ones, the safety and exclusivity church, where we retreat and we put up our own little boundary and we stay within that because we're also darn scared that if we get it wrong, that well, everything, it's a house of cards, will fall apart. You know, how at West City, I'm going to tell you, how do we want to go about following Christ? At our core, we are a church of grace. Unapologetically, this church, the how is grace. You know, I want to think that grace is this, I want to talk a little about what it is and what it looks like in church community. Because what it is, it's a spontaneous act, a spontaneous gift that God gives to everyone. A spontaneous gift, like here you go. It's free. And it's this sense that it's a generous, free, totally unexpected and undeserved gift of God that takes the form of divine favour, love, clemency and a share in the divine life of God. That's pretty spectacular, isn't it? That's what he says, I give to you, this unwavering favour, unwavering, unending, undeserved. I love the fact it's unwavering because I waver. He doesn't. This sense of, no, you've entered into this divine life of God, you're welcome. You know, in Ephesians it says, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. You know, in many contexts, the word grace has almost become a polarizing concept. It's kind of almost seen as I get too much into this grace stuff, you're gonna fall off the edge and you're not gonna live this balanced life of holiness. And then over here, if you don't have enough grace, you just sit in judgment all the time about who's in and who's out, as if I have an idea of what that is, as if I have any idea. As if I am God and I can sit in judgment of people. I don't understand sitting here. And I don't think not sitting here means I'm going to fall off the edge over here. Because I love him. And I will follow his words and his teachings with everything that's within me. Not because I'm scared of what he will do to me, because I love him. And you know what? I've lived more than 60 years with him. And he is faithful. He is faithful through the darkest of days, and doesn't matter how many people think we've got our lives together in this room, I promise you, dark days come. They come to everyone. And they've come to me many, many, many times. And the unwavering, undeserved, unearned grace of God is the one thing I know, is the one thing I will hold on to in how I live out this life of faith. You know, I was growing up in a church which was, I was at the time I was in the church, the church of the fear, the church of fear, you know, the Sunday night repent church. And it was a very, very beautiful church, right? But I had decided I'm not going to stay in church life. I was about 18. I thought, nah, I love God, but I don't think I'm into all of this, right? And I was going to university and I was thinking, this is, you know, I think I'm just going to go. I think I can just keep God on the side because, you know, he's pretty lovely. But I just want to get about living my life without him, without him in the everyday. So I was doing that. I was at uni at UWA and I think I was in my second year of uni. I was very, very, very happy. I wasn't living some terribly sad life. I was actually very happy. One day I was sitting in the car park at the and I thought the main reason I was thinking that is that I knew that I did not have this sense of God in my everyday. And I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing in all that church. I think I'm just rocking up on a Sunday. And I do believe in God, but then it's not really impacting the rest of my life. I reckon I'm probably living a little bit of a sham, but I'm not doing anything terrible because I just wasn't a wild person. But there was no sense of God in my everyday. Has anyone else ever lived like that? Yep, we all have. Please? A little bit of, I told you this is a participation service and you just nod and say yes. So I'm sitting at uni, I'm outside in a car park waiting to go into a university lecture. And as I'm sitting there, I reach into the glove box because, oh, it was an exam actually, but I was very prepared. Don't you hate those kind of people? I was one of them. So prepared. They're an hour early. So I just reached into the glove box to read something else before the exam. I thought, oh, well, a little bit of light reading. Pulled out the... And I don't know how what happened, but my mum had popped a book in there, as mothers do, and this book was this Christian book called Love, Acceptance, Forgiveness. I thought, oh, you know, I was very bored, obviously, because I started to read it. And I was reading this first chapter. And this chapter tells this story. And some people, I know you would have heard this from me because this is like a pivot story for me, you know. I read this, I get out this book and the first chapter is about a pastor in America and he's telling a story about another pastor in the same town who'd had an affair, left his church, left his wife, married someone else, and was now trying to find a church to go to. But every time he'd rocked up at a church, he was asked to leave because he'd caused too much shame on the community, or he was met at the door and not allowed in, or his wife and he were asked to stand up in the middle of the service and asked to leave. And she just said to, this is the second wife, said to the husband, if this happens again, I'm never going to church again. So he rings up the pastor who wrote this book and says, can I come to your church? And this pastor said to him, you come and I'll be waiting for you at the front door and I'm going to bring you all the way to the front and you're going to sit with me and I'm going to look after you and care for you and help you to heal for as long as it takes. You know what? I was in that car. I started to cry like I probably haven't cried before. I was just sobbing. I was sobbing and it was this sense deep inside of me. I knew it was God. I knew it was him. And it was like he was whispering to me, this is my way. This is my way. You know, in that moment, I love that song, you know, Good, Good Father, because it's like people say this is what you're like, but I've heard you whisper in the still of the night and I know what you're like. You're that kind of God. The funny thing is I cried and sobbed my heart out in that car. One of my friends came and knocked on the window because he could see me crying. I thought, oh, no. He knocks on the window, Kelly? I was like, oh, no. He gets in the car. So then he says, what's wrong? And I was like, I've just read what God is really like. I think he looked at me like I've lost the plot. Like he was like, have you? Yes. Yes, I have. And he's listening, and I said, this is what he's like. Did you know that? And he goes, no, but I think he is too. And he was really giving me a lot of encouragement from the passenger seat. I don't think he had any idea what I was talking about. But I met the way of grace. I met the way of grace in a way that says this is what he's really like. And the beautiful thing is that's what Wedge City's like. Grace is for us in our everyday. In your everyday, you make a mistake, you talk to him. This is for you and he to work out. This is for you and God to work out. This grace walk is a walk of personal responsibility. You know, Paul David Tripp in Morning Mercy says this, grace means that beautiful things are being done for you and happening within you in your everyday. You know, and I often say to people, I've got the Midas touch. I think I'm being disingenuous because I'm kind of say, things always end up working out for me. They actually do. Even the worst terrible things you could think have happened, they have happened to me. They really have. I feel like I've had some serious tragedies in the last few years. But you know what? They work out. And I say it's the Midas touch, but it's not. It's the God touch. It's not. It's the God touch. He's got this incredible way. He keeps constantly, this is Acts 14, 17, he kept constantly doing good things and showing you kindness and giving you rains from heaven and productive seasons and filling your heart with food and with happiness. And even in your darkest days, you take it to the bank that that is true. Thanks, Philip. A little sneeze at the end there. You know, I think that we don't always see him at work because in your dark days, he feels like he's nowhere to be seen. And in your high days, you think you've got the Midas touch. I know I do it. But in all days, the grace of God through his Spirit is at work in your life. It is. And when there's something you're facing right now, and you kind of keep walking through it, and then you look back and you see he has been at work, you think, this is the beauty of gratitude. Because then you look back and you go, that was him. It looked like the darkest of days. But you know, the grace of at West City is actually not just for us. It's for everyone. It's for others. It's not only my everyday that I want punctuated with grace. I really want it to be punctuated for everyone else too. You know, we often quote John 3:16, but I love this 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That's my God, the God of the whosoever. But West City grace is not just for you and me. It's for the whosoever. Whoever walks in this door, whoever you meet in the street, whoever lives in your home, you encounter in your family, you want in your workplace. God is the God of the whosoever. You know, it's not a theology. It's really not a theology I'm talking about. I'm more talking about like an attitude, a posture, a filter, a way of seeing, reading scripture. You can read scripture with a harshness and you'll get one reading. And if you read scripture through a posture of faith, I mean of grace, you'll go, I reckon he's got something in mind. I think about a rich young ruler. And so many times people preach on the rich young ruler as if, do not be him. You know, don't let your money have hold of you. You know, you better give up your riches. Have we heard that kind of approach? I read the rich young ruler and I think, he's telling me the first step of the story, that he will challenge me. He will challenge me. But his word to the rich young ruler was, you will find me. If you follow me, if you seek me with all of your heart. And the rich young ruler at that first challenge walked away very sad. But I always think he came back. Because God is irresistible and he's unwavering and his grace will go on and on and on towards him. You know, the thing that we believe at West City is that every person here, you're actually responsible for your own walk. I am not responsible for it. I'm responsible to preach truth and to discern scripture and to live a life that looks like him. I actually am responsible. But you are responsible for what you believe. You are responsible to read scripture for yourself. You are responsible to work out what it means for you. You're responsible to make choices. You are responsible to God. And I am not your judge and your jury. But you are responsible to judge yourself, to weigh and sift and balance about what you choose. And I reckon that's a much heavier responsibility, don't you? Than coming and sitting and thinking, oh no, they're all going to tell me what to think and believe. Because we sit there and we have the responsibility. You know, we will set expectations and we will teach ideas and we will put forward what we believe is the interpretation of Scripture. But you must carry it and discern and choose. You know, what does grace look like at West City? I'm going to give you a few ideas. The way of grace looks like this. When we actually believe different theologies, and you will have people here, because here we say in essentials unity, there's only going to be some essentials unity, in non-essentials, going to say in other things, in non-essentials diversity or something like that, liberty, we'll give it that, but in all things love or all things charity, you will be gracious. If you want to be part of this community, if you have a different opinion, you will be gracious. You can say it. But you'll say it with kindness. Because there's people here who've got different thoughts to me on resurrections and all kinds of things. And I'm like, oh, I don't believe that. No, that's not me. But I haven't necessarily got it right. I'm just doing the very best I can because I love him and I read scripture and I look at the fruits in my life and I look at the consequences. The second way of second way is that we create a community where people can come in, but also people can go out. Sometimes people will come in and say, oh, I don't know, this is not for me. You know what? One of my good friends or our friends, you know, Aaron left being part of West City in the last month. We don't not speak his name. Oh, no, don't speak his name. You know, we don't act like, oh, well, you know, he's shunned. He's a beautiful person who sees something differently, and the way of grace says, you will always be my friend. The way of grace says, when I can have the opportunity to judge you because I see you doing something I'm not happy about, I choose not to. I mean, Matthew 7 says, do not judge. I mean, I don't know how God can be ever more clearer because it's Jesus saying it. Do not judge. Lest you be judged. You've got to judge yourself, right? So there's not about, it's a fact, don't judge other people. Because it says, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, will be measured to you. So why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I don't know how it can be clearer. I went to this conference one time and I'm trying to wrap up here, but, you know, I've got a couple of thoughts for you. On and on. Can't stop her. But anyway, I went to this conference. It was a women's conference. And, you know, I was in a big church and I got marched to the front, you know. Like, obviously I need to sit at the front. Don't know where everyone else sits, but, you know, sit me up here somewhere. You know, not too noisy. Just a nice spot. Anyway, I did that. And I'm sitting there and they were doing something. I think the sermon was going. I think you were there, Penny. Anyway, the sermon's going, and next minute I heard someone's phone ring at the back. I'm really embarrassed to say this, but in one hand, it's, I hope you all can relate, participation, remember? Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, I could hear this, I heard this phone ring. Well, I glanced over my shoulder for the culprit and I tried to make it very obvious that, you know, really, this can't go on. Then I looked back to the front. Then the phone kept ringing. Oh, I better look again. Excuse me, what's happening over there? And I don't know, it's like 1,000 people. I think heck did I think I was? But nonetheless, I thought I was this person. Anyway, I look back. Then I see this woman answer the phone. I'm, oh, come on, woman, you know. So I'm glancing back, you know, very disapproving, very disapproving. So she takes the phone and then she can feel the disapproval. And, oh, don't. She's looking sad for the lady already. And I'm feeling ever more guilty. So she gets up, she takes the call, and I can see her looking very... And I'm like, oh, please. You know, we're all here in a very important church work. I don't know what's happening to you, but, you know, we're all in the presence of God. Anyway, at this point, this lady gets up and she leaves. And so I look to the front, like, oh, that's a relief, you know. Let's just move on now. You know what? I sense God, honestly, almost descend on me. And I really sense him say, how dare you? I was just taken back. I was like, do you have any idea what was happening there? Do you have any idea of what could have been happening in that phone call, the desperation? That woman might have been just praying for an answer. And I've come to her, and you're more worried about a little disruption for yourself. Because honestly, these are hard things that happen right to you. But in that moment, I was so grateful to say, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I don't know what's happening in someone else's life. I will never take the opportunity to judge. He knows what's going on, and I don't have a clue. The way we also do it here is that when others seek help or need help, we don't assess what's going on in them and what they can do for us. We just do what we can. And sometimes it's a little... And sometimes there's a lot. But there's no quid pro quo going on here. We treat others here the same, irrespective of social status. Grace is the grace of the God is whosoever. And you're not going to get marched up the front. Except if we want to tell you off. I'm kidding. No, you'll never. Because that's not culture of West City. And then maybe the last thing I want to say is the way we speak about others when they are out of earshot will be with kindness and grace and understanding. No gossip allowed. No gossip allowed. You know, I went to a fringe festival show last night. I actually added this one in this morning, and this was a comedian, and she was so great. She was fabulous. But she started a little segment, and the little segment was, I love gossip. And she was like, I love gossip. And I love the best gossip is when someone else is going really bad because I know I've got someone worse off than me. But you know what? She was throwing it out there as a reflection of so often what we're like. And she said, when my mum's having a really bad day, I go and tell all the stories of everyone who's broken up because their mum will be really happy really quickly. To really hear all these really terrible things about people. It really was funny. She was funny. But at the same time, she really was. But, oh boy, we're not like that at West City. You won't hear it. I'm not gossiping about anyone at West City. You know, 4 years ago, my marriage broke up. And I was at this church, as was Chiz, my husband, who many people here know, but he's lovely, right? You know what? No one gossiped about me. No one found a way to try to work out what was happening and what was the problem and how they were going to decide if I'd made the right decision or not. I didn't hear it. I was just covered by grace. And a community said, we will love you and we'll trust you to work this out for yourself. You know, each of us needs to reflect personally and deeply on what is fundamental to our core in the church, the culture we choose to be part of. What kind of community do you want not only to join but to invest your lives in with our time and our finances and our heart? At West City, we have chosen a culture of grace. Or maybe in many ways it's chosen us. And just like Peterson says, I don't think it's easy. The way of grace is not an ignorance of Scripture and teachings of good morals, spiritual disciplines, Christian growth. It is not an ignorance of that. It's a belief that each person needs to work the pathway out for themselves. We believe that a spiritual journey is a personal responsibility done in communion with God and Scripture and then best carried out in the company of others, a faith community. So we want grace to be seen in the way we speak with and about each other, the way we help those we know and those we will never meet, the way we see ourselves and others through a lens of humility, kindness and hope. And we want grace to be practiced in the hospitality of home groups, the open offer of short courses, the expanse of the Christmas party, the intimacy of welcome dinners, opportunities to volunteer, share communion message, enter into the practices of baptism and foot washing. And grace is in the invite to the table and the go of Christ, which we say every Sunday. And this is the kind of church that you long to be part of. And welcome. It just might be the community that preaches grace to your everyday. Amen.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression, go out and proclaim anew the old, old story. Go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.